So there's a picture I'd like us to stick up this morning. Oh, look at that. And this is deliberately not clipped because I want you to see that at the beginning of January, it was a rainy day, and I was on our deck. Wes has surrounded our deck area with the clear pull-down blinds, and so now it's sheltered and it's really nice, and I was there relaxed, and I had a really good book about a woman apostle and my kappa and my fluffy dog keeping me warm, and it was just lovely. And so I stuck it on Facebook, Rainy Day Bliss, because it was. And then about 2 minutes after I'd stuck that on Facebook, I noticed a lump under my jeans, between my skin and my jeans. And I rubbed it, and I thought, that's an odd lump. And then I noticed the lump moved. And I thought, okay, it's something crawly underneath my jeans. And when I posted this, I was actually under an illusion of everything being rainy day bliss. And so as I was walking quickly to the bathroom to be able to deal with whatever it was, as I'm walking, the jeans got looser, and so whatever the crawly thing was kept coming higher and higher. You feel my pain, right? So off came the trousers, and out came a white-tailed spider. It was about more than a centimetre long. I would have said an inch long. I don't know what that transfers to in centimetres. But it was a decent one. I was really glad it didn't bite me. But the title of the message today is Illusions. Because that rainy day bliss was actually an illusion, and there was actually something hidden that I didn't know about that had the potential to bite me at any moment. And you know, we can have things in our lives, and we can think that everything's fine and dandy, but there can actually be something lurking that we're completely unaware of. Whoa, you're scared now. We're all good. You're good. Jonah. I'm going to have a look at the story of Jonah. Who knows the story of Jonah? We've got kids here as well. The story of Jonah. Okay. Jonah chapter 1, verse 3 to 7. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim judgment against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away to Tarshish to escape from the presence of the Lord and his duty as his prophet. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, the most remote of the Phoenician trading cities. So he paid the fare and went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind towards the sea, and there was a violent tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors were afraid, and each man cried out to his God. And to lighten the ship and diminish the danger, they threw the ship's cargo into the sea. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship and had laid down and was sound asleep. So the captain came up to him and said, "How can you stay asleep? Get up. Call on your God. Perhaps your God will give us a thought to us that so that we will not perish." So I wasn't sure whether you had the scriptures up there or not, but anyway, reading from the Amplified most of the time, Paul. Some points I want to bring out of this straight away. Jonah had a gift as a prophet to give to a city, and he had a gift to go and save that city, but he chose to save himself. First point. The next point is that avoiding his call and his gift caused him to head into a stormy sea. Some of you, I can see you're making little bullet points yourself as I'm sharing this. The third point was that not only was he disregarding the salvation of the many lives in Nineveh, in Jonah 4:11, it talks about 120,000 children were in that town. Children alone, 120,000. Not only was he disregarding the salvation of them, but he was also putting others' lives at risk, those who were in the ship with him, and the loss of their livelihood because he was in the wrong place. They were throwing all the things, the cargo of the ship, they were throwing it overboard. They were losing their livelihood. That's what those men were dependent on and selling when they got to port the other side. But they were losing their livelihood because a prophet wasn't obeying his call, and he was actually in the wrong place at the wrong time quite deliberately. Oh, this is heavy. You all right? It's going to be good, all right? We've got an answer here. My question for us is, who in my future is dependent on me taking my right place right now? Who in your future is dependent on you taking your place right now? Are we God's calling you to? You see, fear can cause us to try and save ourselves, and because it's actually about self-preservation, and fear actually becomes Lord as opposed to the call of God on our lives. Jonah, instead of flowing in obedience and enabling grace, was accepting fear, prejudice, and its disabling lies. He was sleeping under the illusion of safety, but he was actually in the hull of a sinking ship. That's where the illusion comes in. He was sleeping in a sinking ship. The captain, a heathen captain, came to him and he said, "How can you stay asleep? The ship is sinking." You know, he should have been standing before the king of Nineveh at the time, but instead, in rebuking him, he should have been standing before the king of Nineveh, bringing the word from God and rebuking him, therefore causing the city to repent and all those lives being saved. But instead, he had a heathen captain rebuking him. And I would imagine that would be humiliating. And being in the wrong place at the wrong time, not following what God has called you to do and to be, often causes humiliation, often causes you to end up finding yourself in a stormy sea, as opposed to where God has called you to stand before kings. How can you stay asleep? You know, he was lulled asleep by exhaustion, and part of that was because he was running in the wrong direction. He was now having an illusion of safety. You know, sometimes we can use different things to lull ourselves to sleep. We may find ourselves in a situation we don't like it. And so onto social media and half an hour and 45 minutes or whatever can just go by. In front of a good movie. I enjoy using social media to communicate with people. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes it can be the thing that lulls us to sleep. When we should be up, or we could be up and praying into a situation, or fasting, or in the Word, or worshiping, we could be doing some of this, but instead we slip into something that actually lulls us to sleep. It might be a movie, it might be food that we take to comfort ourselves, it might umpteen things, drugs, umpteen things that we can use to try and self-comfort. When really what we need to do is step into what God is calling us to do, even though it feels uncomfortable. We can do this. Now, what did that captain say to him? He said, "Get up." That word there, the Greek word there is arise. It means stand up, become powerful, accomplish. You know, that's something that the Holy Spirit is saying to you, just saying to every one of us today. Get up, stand up, become powerful and accomplish. The work was done on the cross. It's been accomplished for you. You are overcomers. You are kings and priests. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. He is for you. He's not against you. Get up. Stand up, accomplish, do what you're called to do, be who you're called to be. That's what God is saying to us. There is a world, there is a city, there is a family, there is a church that needs us to arise. It needs us to stand up and become powerful and accomplish what God has called us to do and has destined us to do. Ephesians 1:4, he chose us to be his very own. Let me just look that up for you. You're right, you're with me this morning. All right, where we got it here? Where's love's Ephesians? Reading from the Amplified. Even as in his love he chose us, he actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated and set apart for him and blameless in his sight, even above reproach before him in love. In the Thayer translation of the Greek, it brings out this of that word chosen and what it actually means. It means he's chosen us as in appointed us for office, to be particularly his own and to be attended to continually by his gracious oversight. So What the word says is that he has called us, every one of us, to stand in an office, in a place of authority, where he intends to graciously attend to us and empower us. Come on, does that not get you excited? Stepping up doesn't mean you're going to be standing there alone. Stepping up means you step up into his empowering grace. It's from down here feeling miserable. Oh, woe is me. There's a situation. I don't know what to do. Into this is who I am in Christ. Let's just do some business here. This is who we are. This is what he's saying. My question is, am I in the office or am I in the smoko room? We're called, we're appointed for office to be particularly his own, to be attended to with his enabling power. That's what the original meaning in that Greek was. I love it. What about, the first allusion I think that I want to bring out this morning is that allusion of I can sleep, I can rest in this place, I can just self-medicate with something and it will all go away. That's the first allusion. If I had just stayed there with that white towel under my jeans, would it have just gone away? Maybe eventually, but more than likely I would have hit it, I would have lent something on it, or maybe it would have gone round to the back of my jeans and I would have sat on the thing. But something would have happened that would not have been good. I can be fairly sure of that. You've got to deal with the things that are hidden. You've got to get rid of them. You've got to cast them off, get rid of the thing, even if it takes a bit of humiliation. You know, I didn't do it in my jeans in a public place, but I did have to deal with the hidden thing that was actually there, lurking. All right. Who am I? Illusions of my own identity and who I actually am. You know, many of you know the story of how I believed myself to be incredibly introverted, shy, and this is who I was, like my dad, and how I embraced that. And it caused so many problems because every time I got asked to preach or share or anything, just the terror that would hit me and the effort that it would take to ever get up and say anything anywhere. And then Wes had a word, I've shared this with you, but Wes had a word one day when we were in Africa that God wanted to set me free from the generational bondage of timidity. And I didn't even really think it was there. That's the joke of it. But I let him pray for me. I didn't experience anything. I didn't shake. I didn't fall on the ground. I didn't nothing. I just went on to a meeting where I had to lead with several hundred people, got up and felt no fear at all for the first time in my life. There was something lurking that I was unaware of, and it was lying to me about my identity. Am I under an illusion about my own identity? That's the next question we've got this morning. So the next phase of the illusion that I had after was trying to accommodate the thing, so preaching through the fear, everything else. You can try to accommodate something that you think to yourself, well, this is just how I am. I had, a while ago, I prayed for somebody, and they had all these issues with, and it's nobody here, they had all these issues with fear and panic attacks. And I began to ask them about it and ask the Holy Spirit what it was about. It boiled down to the fact that this person had unusual coloured hair, and as a little child, they got teased at school about having unusual coloured hair. That then seeded the thought that I am different and I don't fit in. That then went on to, I must try my best at everything I do. That went on to, I have got to be perfect at everything I do, to be loved and to be accepted. That then went into panic attacks and huge amounts of stress in this life. And it all came back from that one little lurking thing back there that I'm not right because my hair is not the right colour. You see, this, it seems ridiculous, But it's so real. There can be things that we have believed about ourselves that are just lurking there, and they're an illusion. They're not actually real. It's not who we are at all. It's not the fullness of what God says about us and who we can be in Him. And it puts up a boundary between us and where we're supposed to be. Okay. What shifts illusions? We're going to look at that quickly. Deliverance can shift illusions. So I had said about Wes praying for me concerning that generational thing and deliverance and the person I was talking about before. We just talked about it and this person realized that they weren't inferior because of the color of their hair. They didn't have to do everything right all the time with absolute perfection to be loved. And they began to break their agreement verbally with those things that they'd believed. And as they did, and then we prayed, they were completely set free. So there's simple steps to coming free, and deliverance is one way. The Holy Spirit can shift illusions. I think about Peter, what it might have been like for him. You know, I wonder what it was like, you know, after, you know, he'd met Jesus. Jesus has died. Jesus rose from the dead. He met Jesus, and then they're in the upper room. It's a locked room. And I wonder sometimes if some of these things went through his head. I tried to walk on the water in front of them all, and I sunk. I tried to protect him from being hurt, and he told me, "Get behind me, Satan," in front of them all. I said in front of them all, "I'll never deny you." And I did three times, and they all know it. I should just sit down, shut up, and stop putting my foot in it. Do you think there's possible any of those thoughts that went through Peter's mind? What kind of humiliation came around the guy with these sorts of failures, what we would consider failures? And yet, what happened on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit blew into that place and exploded in that place, and Peter got up, and he didn't stay sitting down and shut it up. Anyway, he got up and he preached, and how many? 3,000 people were saved that day. Come on. So the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, can shift those illusions, can shift those lies in a minute. So deliverance, someone praying for you and breaking the thing off, you breaking your agreement with the thing, and then someone praying and breaking it off can set you free from that illusion, from a lie that's holding you back. So can the Holy Spirit just flowing in a meeting, just pouring out. I've seen... I'll tell my own story. The first time I experienced the power of God come on me violently, we were back, some of you were with us, back in Kings. Who remembers being in Kings? Canterbury Christian College, a number of you. And the Holy Ghost just swept through in this meeting. And I found myself down on the floor, shaking and laughing. And I had no clue what I was laughing about. And I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. When I got up, my knees had been miraculously healed, which is wonderful. But more importantly, I had been set free from a sense of being hunted. I'd had somebody in my past who had real issues with violence and aggression that would turn up intermittently, find me, try to hunt me down with real threats of violence. And I'd always had in my mind these plans of how to escape if I was in the house and the person turned up, or if I was here. So it was like a default setting in my brain that was always worrying of my escape route. It was a day or two later when I was in the house, and I suddenly realized that I hadn't locked the doors and I hadn't made sure all the windows were locked. And I was suddenly aware that I didn't have the sense of being hunted anymore. And that stronghold had been broken. That fear had been broken while I had been laughing on the floor. So, the Holy Spirit pouring out can just release us of those illusions immediately. What about Gideon? You know the story of Gideon, or many of you will. So Gideon, a man of God, and he is in a wine press threshing out grain. So he's hiding because the enemy keeps coming through. He's hiding, and the angel of the Lord turns up and calls him, "You mighty man of fearless courage." Sometimes, in fact, regularly I find, God will call us something that we don't feel like we amount to. Isn't it funny that the truth can seem more like a lie than the lie can feel like the truth? Did that come out right? We can be believing a lie and that seems so much the truth to us. And then God turns up or a scripture comes alive to us and we look at it and we think it's easier somehow to believe the lie than it is to actually take a hold of this truth. And so anyway, God called him, "You mighty man of fearless courage." And he believed what God said and he shifted in his attitude and he shifted in his position. But then he said to God, Have I not sent you? Gideon said to him, "Please, Lord, how am I to rescue Israel? Behold, my family is the least significant in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest, the smallest in my father's house." I'm the smallest, I'm the least significant. But then you read on in verse 34. This is Judges 6. It's actually good if you've not read it before. I just encourage you, have a look in Judges 6 and you'll read the whole story. In Judges 6:34, "So the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon and empowered him, and he blew a trumpet, and the Abizurites were called together as a militia to follow him." So God called him a mighty man of fearless courage. He makes a shift in his thinking. He lines up with who God says he is. But you know, there's actually something really significant that happens between his calling and his blowing the trumpet. One of the most significant things that happened between that is he goes and he takes down the Asherah pole. He takes down the place of false idol worship. Sometimes there's things in our lives, you know, I was very comfortable, if you like, being a shy, introverted person. Like, I was like my dad, and people would say to me, "Oh, she's so much like her dad." And I embraced that thing. Yet in reality, it was like an idol because it was holding me back from the purposes of God. It was holding me back from stepping up and into the destiny that God had for me. Have we got things in our lives that we're actually still embracing, that we're actually holding on to, that are a false identity, they are a lie, they're an illusion that we're holding on to, and it's actually holding us back from the destiny and the calling that God has got for us? He dealt with Baal worship. He dealt with it. He had to take his father's second cow, bull, and sacrifice it. It was 7 years old, and he had to go and he sacrificed it. And man, was there a stink after that when they found out that the idol had been pulled down and the people of the town found out and his father renamed him. And it was all sorts of hoo-ha that happened, but he had to pull down the idol. He actually had to do something with the lie. So where are we up to? We've got a timer on. It's good. That's counting down. Fantastic. Thank you. What else can shift illusions? So we've got deliverance can shift them. A move of the Holy Spirit can shift them. What about a rebuke received and acted upon? Proverbs 27:5-6, "Better is an open reprimand of loving correction than love that is hidden. Faithful are the wounds of a friend who corrects out of love and concern. But the kisses of an enemy are lavish and deceitful." I haven't heard this preached on a lot. Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves instruction and discipline. When did you last say, "I love discipline"? Like never. Anyway, loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof and correction is stupid. I just love the way the Bible puts things. What about Ecclesiastes 7:5? This is my favorite one. "It is better to listen to the rebuke of the wise man and pursue wisdom than to listen to the song of Paul." Oh, I wrecked it. "It is better to listen to the rebuke of the wise man and pursue wisdom than for one to listen to the song of fools and pursue stupidity." It's so true. You know, we can have people around our lives that say the nice things, and that's just, they're just so lovely to have around. But what about the ones that we get really close, who will say, "Hey, man, you're just not stepping up to God, what God has called you to be. Have you thought about how you're doing this when really He's called you to do that? Have you considered those prophetic words that you've had over you? Janet, what about when the prophet said such and such over you? How come you're just sitting at home now and you're not out there doing what God's called you to do?" Those friends, those are the ones that we need to listen to. Those are the ones that will keep us on track and keep us stepping up. So, a rebuke received and acted upon can shift illusions. The next one, focusing on the truth empowers us to walk in our newfound reality. Philippians 4 verse 8, Amplified Version again. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think now and again on these things. What does the word actually say? Think continually on these things. Keep thinking continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. That's how the Amplified brings it out. Implant the good things in your heart. Implant those prophetic words in your heart. Implant what God has said about this church. Implant what God has said about this city and this nation. Implant them on your heart. Get them in your head. Get them coming out your mouth. Align yourself with the good things. Think on these things. I tell you what, if you focus on the news and you keep focusing and reading the feeds about COVID, will you rise up and be anything? I don't think so. I'm not saying that COVID's not real. I'm just saying, what am I going to imprint on my mind and on my heart? It's what got to be what God says. It's got to be the living word. So we fight the mind games with the truth, the word of God, prophecy, faithful leaders and faithful friends. What's coming out of those? That's what we fight the mind games with. You know, we don't know that we've got blind spots because they're the blind spots. That's why we need one another. It's time to wake up, to get up and to speak up and not just think that we can safely lie down and sleep in a sinking ship. Now, so what are some of the good things? I'll wrap up with this. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you future and a hope. So He declares it. How about we declare it too? We're called to be in His image. He's declaring that over us. He says He sings over us. He is declaring that we have plans for welfare, not for evil, that He's got a future for us and a hope. When was the last time you looked in the mirror and said, "You've got a future and a hope. There are good things for you ahead." Come on. Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. How many business people here have struggled? We've got a dream in your heart, but it just feels like you maybe are not the person to accomplish it. I'm just saying that God has said that commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. He actually desires to bless you, to bless you, what you put your hands to. I think it's time for some of us to take a step of courage and actually get the word of God coming out of our mouth, speaking it to ourselves, prophesying it over ourselves, and step in to some of the dreams and desires that He's put there in the first place. Come on. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, point it to yourself, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for me. Work for good for me. Because I love Him. Matthew 7:11. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? He's a good Father. We being evil know how to look after our own kids and give good gifts to our kids, how much more does our Heavenly Father delight in giving good gifts to us? So it's a simple message. It's such a simple message. But there's things that we believe. There's like illusions that we have that we can just rest. We just relax. When really he's saying, rise up. The city needs you. Your family needs you. The church needs you. The nation needs you to rise up, to stand up, to speak up, to be awake. The conference we had at the beginning of the year, the awakening. It's time to wake up and step up into what God has said. Declare and decree it. I love the fact that we hear the prophetic so often in this place. But you know, the prophetic is words going out. Are you going to capture them? Are you going to begin to decree them and work with them? Are they going to become like your sword? I had this dream when I was probably a teenager, not long after I gave my heart to the Lord. And in the dream, I was in a car and traveling, and a car will often, a dream will often be symbolic of your life or your ministry. And as we were driving in this car, there were people on each side of the road and they were all throwing rocks at us. And like the windows were just at the point of going to smash. They were already cracked and there was rubble all over the road. And we were trying to get ahead. And I knew, you know, in the dream, you just knew that there was imminent disaster. Any moment we were going to be killed. And in the dream, I looked around and there was this huge sword on the back seat, just sitting there. And I thought in the dream, what happens if I pick up the sword? Maybe I could wind down the window a bit and slash some of their heads off. This is what I'm thinking in the dream, right? Because I have dreams like this. You just think a little Janet, meek and mild, but my dreams aren't. Anyway, that's what I was thinking. So I pick up the sword in the dream and I hold it. And I only had to hold it. And next thing, all those enemies, each side of the road, they all just like disappeared. They were just like, you know, like I don't know, you used to watch Star Trek and, you know, someone would get beamed up and they'd all just like pixelate and disappear. Well, that's what happened to all those enemies. They just pixelated and disappeared. And all I had to do was hold the jolly thing. It was no good at sitting in the back seat. What are the prophetic words that you've had over your life? What illusions are you living under? What lies have you been living under? Thinking that it's your truth, thinking that it's your reality, but really it's stopping you from stepping up into what God has given you, God has promised you. What are those prophetic words that you basically just need to take a hold of and hold on to them, and you'll see the enemy flee left, right, and center because you take a hold of them. You don't just leave them lying in the back seat. Anyway, I think we're going to stand to our feet in a minute. Maybe we can stand to your feet now, and we're going to pray. Thanks, Rob. I haven't been telling you off. I'm just sharing a journey. Sorry if you felt told off. One of the jobs of a prophet is to stir up. I got the opportunity. Where's Sensor's love, by the way? Forgot that bit. What I'm going to do right now, I invite you to do, is just ask Holy Spirit to shed a light, to shed his light on you and show you if there's anything, any illusion that you've been living under or you've been accepting, especially to do with your self-identity. And just if something pops into your mind, I just want you to hold on to that. So when I was praying for the person that I was telling you about that had the issue with their coloured hair, they came forward for me to pray for them concerning the terrible panic attacks they were having. And when we asked Holy Spirit to shed his light on it, what came into their mind was being teased as a kid about the colour of their hair. And all of the other stuff all flowed out of that, of them thinking that they weren't quite good enough and no matter how hard they tried, they just wouldn't quite measure up. That's what it all came out of. So Holy Spirit, right now, we ask you to move in this place. Thank you that you already are. And we ask you just to illuminate. Lord, I didn't know that there was a white-tailed spider in my jeans, but it had a potential to bite me and muck up with my plans, Lord. Father, if there's any whitetails in our lives, Lord, if we are sitting in the illusion of safety when really there's an enemy there that's hidden away, we ask you right now to illuminate it to us, to show us, to show your light onto it right now in Jesus' name. Just bring to mind right across this place, Lord. I ask right across this place, Lord, just bring the illumination into things that we have believed that are actually illusions. They're not the truth right now, whether they're about our identity, something that somebody said that's actually a lie and doesn't line up with what your word says, Lord. Even something that we may have believed about you. Maybe we doubted your goodness. I just feel this pertains to somebody right now. Your Heavenly Father desires to bless you. Somebody right here, you just need to embrace this in a whole new way. God desires, loves to, longs to, yearns to bless you. To bless you. To work with you with those dreams, to work with you with those plans, to help you to see it come to pass. He loves you. Thank you, Lord, right now, right now. Lord, you promise to attend to us continually with your gracious oversight as we step into the office that you have for us. We step into that place that you have for us. You promise to attend to us, to attend to us, to care for us. Okay, just raise your hands for me. Everyone's got your eyes shut. Just raise your hands if you can relate, if you felt like God has just shown you something. All right. And you acknowledge now, there's a number of people here, you acknowledge now that that's not the truth. That's been an illusion. Okay, cool. So what I want you to do now is I want you to take accountability for the lie. It's just like Gideon went and he pulled down that idol. We can take authority now and pull down the lie, okay? So I'm going to, Father God, just say this after me. Father God, I bring to you this lie, this illusion that you have shown me this morning. I repent now for having believed a lie and embraced an illusion. Right now, I take authority over this thing. I rebuke it. Come on, I need a bit of attitude in the house. You're not talking to a pussycat here. Right now, I take authority over this lie. I rebuke it. I break its power off my life. I thank you now for my freedom, for my liberty, for the truth of your word that I will step into now. Thank you, Jesus, for the work of the cross, for your dunamis power that's towards me, delivering me, setting me free, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, now if some of you, if any of you would still like some prayer, some of you may feel that release of that thing right now, but if you still would like some prayer, somebody else to agree with you, to break that thing off well and truly, then please feel free to come, and I just ask the ministry team to come and minister as well. Rob, can I just need some music with some attitude, because we've actually got to have attitude right now. We're going to shift some demonic things that have tried to trip you up and hold you back. And so I'm asking you to come. If you come forward, you come with an attitude to do business with God. You come understanding that God has set you free completely today. You do not have to live with this thing. It's like Gideon there and kicking over that Asherah pole and burning the wood that it was made of. He went it up with attitude. He went it up with stance. He didn't go there with a fear of repercussions, but he went there with an understanding that he was about to step into who God said he was. Amen, amen. feel free to please stick around for some lunch. And praise God, eh? He is so good. He just loves to set his people free. Feel free to come on up if you want some prayer. Thank you, Lord God, you're setting your people free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father, that you're moving. You're moving amongst your people. Thank you, Lord.